Rave Radio. Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Joel Rollins, and this is The Week on Rave Radio. This week, we'll be talking to Neil Willis, a longtime contributor and sponsor of the show, who's just back from Infocom Middle East Africa in Dubai, about what it's like to exhibit for the first time in the Middle East. Anyway, we'll be doing that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Hypersign, who make a truly innovative product line for digital signage. You can find out more about their unique signage solution at www.hypersign.com, and Neil and I will be talking a little bit about it during the interview today. The Week is also brought to you by Atlas Sound, who make a huge variety of audio product to fill the needs of the AV industry. More about them can be found at www.atlassound.com. But listen, while you're here on Rave Radio, listen to our other podcasts, like the Green AV Podcast, the Wavecast from Women in AV, Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves, and Johnny Moda's new AV Insider. There's plenty to listen to here, and you can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here, on The Week, we're going to try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects that we think are important to our industry. But so, without further ado, let's talk about what's going on this week in the world of AV. Well, first of all, more than 140 delegates attended last week's Smart Building Conference in London. Attendees were treated to insights from some 20 speakers, with separate tracks dedicated to the commercial and residential building markets. The next Smart Building Conference will take place in Amsterdam on February 3rd, 2014, the eve of the next ISE show. I'll certainly be there. The Smart Building Conference is a cooperative effort of Infocom and Cedia. More information about the Amsterdam event will be available shortly at www.smartbuildingconference.com. And while you're talking about those kind of industry events, make plans to attend Customer Engagement Technology World November 6th through 7th, 2013 at the Javits Convention Center here in New York City. CETW is a gathering of marketing, strategic, experience, and technology experts who are focused on leveraging technology solutions that enrich the experiences of customers and employees alike. CETW offers a dynamic educational program featuring strategies and tips from brands, venues, agencies, and industry visionaries. Read more at www.cetworld.com. Also, the Digital Signage Expo has announced that its 2014 educational conference will feature four individual full-day educational programs for Digital Signage Expert Group certification or renewal credits, including the debut of the DSCE program for Spanish speakers. The expo kicks off on February 11th and runs through February 14th. The Vadio Group Station makes it easy to create BYOD-ready meeting rooms by providing a single solution that connects to the user's device. The Vadio solution includes the necessary peripherals to create a high-quality multi-use room and group collaboration experience, an HD PTZ camera, loudspeakers, microphones, and a control dock. Users simply connect personal devices to the group station or huddle station control dock via a USB or HDMI connection and begin using their favorite collaboration tools. Attendees can collaborate remotely with PowerPoint or keynote presentations, engage in high-definition video conferencing using Skype, Microsoft Link, WebEx, etc. Users can also use VoIP for multi-person audio conferencing or stream videos over IP using YouTube, Vimeo, or any other application of their choice. Check the Vadio Group Station details at www.vadio.com. Lastly, the 2013-2014 online digital catalog from Chief has been redesigned based on extensive feedback from installers and dealers, resulting in a streamlined layout with easy-to-navigate products and accessories. The new catalog includes the latest product information and Chief's continually solid lines of mounts, racks, interactive technology, and accessories. The online edition of the catalog is searchable, making it a cinch to find what you need in a flash. Browse the Chief catalog at www.chiefmfg.com. You can find out more about these stories and all the others as news breaks on this and anything else in the AV industry at www.ravepubs.com. And now, let's go on with our interview for the week. Well, folks, as I mentioned at the top of the show, with me again is Neil Willis, our sponsor of Hypersign. And Neil's just back from Dubai from the Infocom Middle East Africa show. Neil, you've had quite the multicultural experience over the last couple of months between Africa and the Middle East.
Yeah, it's been actually a really long plane ride and a lot of new experiences.
So I imagine you still got jet lag.
Actually, I was able to catch some sleep coming back instead of going on a plane. We left in the morning and had some big events going on Saturday, coming back with family and stuff. So I've actually feel surprisingly well. You know, I haven't really been affected by it a whole lot.
So tell us, what was the show like in Dubai?
It was very interesting. You know, this is our first foray into the international market with Hypersign. So we really did not know what to expect. We went with a fairly small presence. Digital signage pretty much was not represented, you know, on the show very well. So we saw that as an opportunity to be there. I think we were there, and I think BrightSign was in a partial booth with someone else. But other than that, the only digital signage you really saw on the show was associated with the display manufacturers.
You know, that's really I talked to Terry Friesenberg last week from the show. And I was saying, you know, is digital signage as big over there as it is here? And his thing was that it really hasn't taken off there yet, which surprised the heck out of me because Dubai is someplace we think of as an ultra-modern city.
Well, I think from a corporate standpoint, a product standpoint, as far as people going over there and selling into the space, he's correct. You know, I actually sat down with the Dubai government. They want to talk to me about having a presence in Dubai, and they made me an offer, which was really interesting. Made me an offer of actually having an office, and of course, in Dubai, there's no income tax, but they want to give me incentives as a digital signage company to come into Dubai. But it's very evident from the time you step off the airplane, you know, into the terminal to the Dubai International Airport, that this place is very immersed with visual technology. There's digital signage everywhere. I mean, motion in the U.S., you don't really see motion signage on the freeways. But in Dubai, it's plentiful. It's everywhere. And there are displays there, the biggest I've ever seen, that were in Dubai. So it's being driven by something, but you really don't have a presence of digital signage software companies. The display companies are huge there. Samsung has a huge presence there. You know, so they're there. But it's who's actually driving that content does not have a local presence. They're going through these different partnerships and things of that nature. So we thought it might be an opportunity to be able to market the wares of Hypersign, our ease of use, and that what we can end up doing with our platform to give them a performance edge over just displaying video content on the full screen or things of that nature that they're currently doing. But it's definitely a visual mecca as far as content, more than I've seen in New York. More than I've seen in any American city up at this point. It really is amazing.
What was the experience like of being an exhibitor there?
A little different. We had just a 3x4 meter booth, which is, you know, a little bit larger than the 10x10 we'd normally get inside of an Infocom. Well, actually, we had about 30x40 in Infocom in Orlando. So we didn't really want the cost or expense of shipping some of the larger format displays there, so we had a very small presence. It was a small show, but I think what was really interesting about it is that we were on the edge of the floor plan, which is what Infocom, you know, when they sell the floor plans out for over there, that we were at the edge of the show. So, but that show connected to a much larger show, and that's what I found was very interesting.
Right. And that show was Gitex, right?
Yeah. Gitex was, in the hall that we were in was all the government, and, you know, in that part of the world, the government owns a lot of for-profit businesses. That's why they're able to exempt people from income tax and even sales tax. It's because the government has business interest around that really profits and supports the government, which I thought was fascinating. And so they do that. But across the hall from us and the government was the real Gitex, which had huge Samsung booths, you know, which we had several meetings with the Samsung guys over in that part of the world. And it was really interesting because they pulled together all their chief heads from the countries around the Middle East to meet with us. They were so fascinated with Hypersign. I met with Oracle about incorporating their database into our in our digital signage engine for key performance indicators, as well as SAP, and met with Dell. I mean, there was some, they were really eager to be able to meet with a digital signage company. But that, that GITEC show is what brought additional value to Infocom. It's because you went to one, you went to the World Trade Center in Dubai, which is where this was held, and you had access to all these different resources. There were probably in excess of 100,000 people at the GITEC show. So it was like a CES combined with the, you know, maybe an NAB and all those kind of things. It was really a, really an interesting show, very eclectic.
What percentage of those people do you think they were able to draw into the Infocom CEDIA show?
I think that we did not have a tremendous amount of traffic. And I think because we were on the side of the hall that we were in the hall with the government sector. And I think that was the least populated. I think if we had been on the hall where the other technology companies had been, which there was about four halls that the GITEC was in, then we were in one hall with the government side, and they're just there was a separation between the two. So I think it could have been stronger, could have been much stronger, and brought a lot more value if Infocom had been incorporated into GITEC, as opposed to it being a separate conference that was in a different hall, you know, down the corridor. I think the traffic was just not there was some billboards and stuff inside the concourses to direct an Infocom. I just don't know. I'm not sure how effective it was. But the GITEC show was, at some points during the show, it was like, you know, bumping shoulders to everybody just to be able to get through the aisles.
Now, you sat down with some of the local companies over there. What'd you get as an impression of, you know, as an American developer, how hard would it be for you to start doing business over there?
There is a different approach to doing business. Like in the U.S., we would typically have, we have all of our normal AV distributors, you know, our Almos and our Tech Datas and our Synexes and all these guys that are moving AV equipment from a distributor standpoint. And then we have that channel model to where they would have integrators or resellers that you know, buy from them. And then you have the direct relationship you'd have with the manufacturers and developers with the resellers. In that part of the world, your distributors and your integrators are the same. So they don't have large distributors, with the exception maybe Ingram Micro is trying to make a presence of that world. That's the only one, major one we saw there. But the other integrators are distributors as well as resellers. And in addition to that, they do everything. You'll have one reseller that does AV, IT, plumbing, you know, they'll deliver papers. I mean, they want to do everything in the book to be able to get the business. And what we've been told by some of the manufacturers is it makes it very difficult from a project standpoint, because if they earn like a $4 or $5 million project, then they do not have the internal expertise to be able to execute the project. Therefore, they lean a lot back on the manufacturers or developers of the original products. So I was warned by some of the manufacturers saying, be prepared for that, is that, you know, they'll sell a big project and then come back to you and say, well, we need for you to do it for us. And so it's a different world. Just a different way of selling the product. When we are approaching the partner manufacturers, like I said with Samsung, and we demoed what Hypersign Alert and Hypersign will do, they got extremely excited. I mean, it was surprising. It was so excited, you know, because they really don't have the kind of companies over there they really would want to have to partner with their product and to help sell their product. So I was really interested in that.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you and I have talked quite a lot in that we both traveled extensively about the cultural differences of doing shows in different parts of the world. I mean, if you look at a picture of a trade show, still, you've got people in the aisles and you've got booths and they all look the same. But there's a huge dynamic difference between doing a show in the United States and doing one, say, in Europe, where people tend to move slower, talk more, and work the aisles more. What did you see as cultural differences in doing a show in the Middle East?
I think there was a really quick disconnect. I think that when you, depending on the culture they were coming from, I mean, we had a mix of Arabic and Indian and Asian, you know, the different companies that would come through to be able to ask questions. And, you know, some of them would, as soon as they found out that maybe your product was not going to end up servicing maybe their particular project, then they were quick to dismiss. You know, in America, we'll listen to a product because we've got a project going on, but we also want to be able to have a little bit more foresight and saying, listen, we may can use this, or maybe we can use this as a marketing opportunity to expand our product line or to expand our product card, you know, of what we have to offer. And I didn't see that a whole lot. I saw it was just about what is going on right now, really the ad hoc buying. And that makes it very difficult for a developer and manufacturer to develop a trained workforce when it comes to resellers and integrators. And we were hearing this a lot from end customers. I was in Doha, Qatar on Tuesday for the day, and we were visiting with the largest international school in the world, the ACS school. And so they're moving forward with Hypersign and Kid Gopher. And they were telling us that we really had problems finding a true AV integrator. You know, that it would be companies that really didn't have the depth of some of the training stuff that we may have here. And I think it's because there's not a lot of local presence from us as manufacturing developers in the Middle East. The money's there. My gosh, the money's there, plentiful. But some of the communication barriers with all the different cultures of being very eclectic end up becoming maybe a strain for some of the companies that want to do business in that area. The business of the government being your competitor in some cases becomes difficult, becomes something you have to feel your way through. And there's all these different dynamics of how the business culture is different. And it just takes some learning. It's not something that's but they tell you, once you learn it, it's very profitable and it's very lucrative. You can end up doing very, very well. And so we're constantly trying to learn new things. And I've even made the decision to actually have a presence out of Dubai to service those Middle East countries of, you know, the UAE and the Qatar and the surrounding areas with Hypersign. We feel like there's enough value that we learned during the time of the conference to be able to justify that.
Now, as a developer, what would the technical barriers be to working over there? I mean, I would imagine there's language and font differences, and is that something that is going to be easy to overcome, or is there a lot of work to do there?
I don't think we can actually support multiple languages. We got a new version of Hypersign coming out on December the 9th that actually has multi-language support, and I think it differs depending on where you are, Joel. In Dubai, you can go across the majority of the city and still believe you're in America. I mean, I try to imagine an American food chain that was not in Dubai. I mean, Cracker Barrel, Fuddruckers, TGI Fridays.
Really?
Hardee's. I mean, they had these bicycles running around with Hardee's boxes on the back of them serving hamburgers. And I could not imagine the cars there were, you know, all of them were either Toyota Camrys or Toyota Siennas. And they were required to buy new cars every year by the government, you know. So you had your brand new cars every single year, and if you were not a Mark taxi, you had to be a Lexus or a Land Rover. The police cars were Lamborghinis, you know. And it's a different world, but you know, in a sense, you look at it, it doesn't look that different than some parts of America. You know, the billboards were all in English with Arabic subtitles. When you flip through the channels on the cable television in the hotel room, out of 50 channels, you may have had three channels that are full Arabic. The rest of them are in English. American movies, all the news, BBC, CNN, they all have channels there. So the communication, really the only barrier we really saw was really the electricity. Their internet access is not as strong as you would see here in the United States. So you have to be very, very, very conscious about that. So when you end up having cloud solutions, like we offer a cloud solution, you have to look at that being a potential barrier or a potential inhibitor for your service of operating properly. It's because their internet access is a lot less reliable than it would be otherwise. And as long as you end up taking the fact that the power conversion is there, you got to take the fact of that, then there's really no more barriers to that. The language barrier is not, at least in Dubai, it's not existent. Now, in some of the more less modernized cities, like if you go into Doha, even Abu Dhabi was actually fairly modernized. So for large, the bigger cities, you really don't have those communication barriers.
You know, that's interesting, because Terry was saying the same thing about their internet access, but that their broadband cellular access was excellent. I mean, one of the things that I found was interesting was, I accidentally called several of you guys who were over there and got you on your cell phones.
Right, right.
Which, you know, so that's obviously been modernized quite a bit.
And I think that's even expanded outside of Dubai. I mean, when I was in Africa, you know, a month or so ago, inside of Zimbabwe, there were more people that had access to smartphones and data access than they did fresh water. So that just lets you know that the priorities we've had as far as expanding communications are pretty aggressive. And that's the same way around the UAE. I mean, we were out in the desert. I mean, I couldn't see a pole anywhere, and we had full, four or five bars on our cell phones. So that is very available. But wired access or coming off Wi-Fi, you were fortunate to get 20% of what you were paying for, as far as from a throughput standpoint. And so that's some of the. I think they're working on that infrastructure. From what I saw and I was reading, there's a lot of fiber installation going on. But that particular city has grown so rapidly. And to put it in perspective, I was talking to someone that said in 1991, during the original Gulf War, there was one high-rise building in Dubai. And as of the end of 2012, there were over 900.
Yeah, at one point, I gather, they had something like 60% of all the world's heavy construction cranes working
in
Dubai.
There's a lot of new construction. I mean, it's a lot of times it's like being in Lower Manhattan. When you're driving through Lower Manhattan, you see all the big buildings. That's a lot how, except everything's just absolutely clean, just spotless. Billboards everywhere, digital billboards, right on the coast, on the beach. I mean, it's really a beautiful place to go. And as long as you can kind of understand the business climate and understand how to be able to do business, it is really. And right now, it's still. They're recovering very nicely from this, from the 2008 recession that hit us, so they're recovering really nicely. They're growing, they're wanting new businesses to come into Dubai and do business, and they're eager for it. So
if you were going to do a show over there next year, you're an American manufacturer preparing, what did you find the hardest thing and what would you prepare for differently?
I think I would probably end up, I'm loyal to Inficom, being in a U.S. organization, and I really want to support them. What I would want to do next year is I felt like our booth would have been exponentially. I'm not under exaggerating that term. I think it would have been exponentially more effective incorporated into the Gitech's floor plan.
Sure.
And I would really encourage Inficom to say, listen, how can we have a pavilion? How can we have a little section of this that's around, AV special? Because what we really had is you had manufacturers that are normally represented in our Inficom, the Samsungs, the companies that would normally be there, LGs, they were Gitechs. And, if I'm an event planner or event manager for those large manufacturers, say, well, why would I, if I'm in Gitechs and I've got this huge booth at Gitechs, why would it be across the hall in Inficom? So I think by incorporating them, it actually gives them a more of an opportunity to bring these larger manufacturers or larger exhibitors into their pavilion area, but it also allows a lot more traffic to bring in more value to even the smaller companies like ours.
Well,
so that's what I would recommend.
I'll pass that along because I'll be talking to Terry from the show in Russia this week.
Yeah.
One final question before we run out of time. What was the coolest thing you saw there?
Let's see. There is a lot of changes going on inside the PC market, and we've been exploring more of the Android-based players, and I'm seeing that there is more and more processing power, more and more memory, all the solid-state drives, and the prices of these things are getting so ridiculously inexpensive. I'm really curious about how it's going to end up affecting makers like Dell and some of the PC makers of being out there and being in the small market. I saw that as being a really, really interesting direction to go. At this particular show, tablets were everywhere. I mean, you could literally have your own Joel Rollins tablet company. I mean, it was really telling
I've been
you
thinking
your
about
own.
That.
But I think that was probably more interesting to me. There's a lot of cloud-based services, but I really saw that there were that processor market or that PC market is becoming to where the PC is becoming more personal. It's not necessarily just, we had a separation or segmentation between the desktop and the laptop and the tablet and the phone. These were all 2 or 10 foot environments, either personal 2 foot or 10 foot environments. And now they're actually being converged to where, this PC, you can have a completely mobile PC that has full HDMI out and all these different connectivities that has the power of what a desktop had just a year or two ago.
Sure. Well, I'm sure we'll be back to talk to you more about that in the future anyway, since this seems to be exploding. But listen, thanks for taking the time with us after just getting back from your little trip around the world here.
Not a problem, Joel. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Neil.
And that's all we have time for the week. But join us again next episode here on The Week on Rave Radio. And don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in all our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our sponsors, Hyperside and Atlas Sound, for helping us bring you this show. Check out great stuff at www.hypersign.com and www.atlassound.com. And thanks once again for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.